God has a word for us. He has a word for us. Amen. Amen. So turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Hold your finger there just for a moment. Let's pray. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it has the power to change us, to speak to us, to adjust us, to refresh us, renew our minds, and help us to think differently. So, Father, I thank you that as I speak, you would speak through me, that you would inspire and put your life, Father God, Lord, into this time that we have. God, speak as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Acts chapter 1. As you've heard me continue to say, that this is Pentecostal or Pentecost Sunday. I call it. I think I earlier called it Pentecostal Sunday, but that's appropriate too, because we are Pentecostal, but it is Pentecost Sunday. And that usually occurs 7 weeks after Easter. Can you believe it's been 7 weeks?
Wow.
7 weeks after Easter, or 50 days after Passover. So when we think through Pentecost, that's what it means. It actually means 50. So it's 50 days after Passover. And so I have no idea why God, in his infinite wisdom, chose Pentecost Sunday. There are all kinds of wonderful studies on that I encourage you to do so. But he chose a Pentecost Sunday as the opportunity to birth the church with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're going to start with in Acts chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. And so we've been talking about primed and ready as a theme, if you will, that I believe the Lord kind of put on our hearts, that's what we were to be talking about right now, primed and ready. And we've been using the illustration of an old-fashioned well pump, hand pump, that you have to pour water in and water eventually comes out. You got to keep that pump primed, keep it moist, keep it fresh, if you will, because you don't want the gaskets that are down inside that pump to get all dried out and rotten. For those of you that work in any kind of industry, that whether it's auto mechanics or whether, you know, we got one brother who does AC in large buildings, you know, things dry out. And when they dry out, hoses break and the end result is not what is intended to be. And so we're believing God for a refreshing. We're believing God for a refreshing to continue to keep that pump primed. Because last year, God began to deal with us and through a mutual thing. You know, I'm just going to sidestep here just for a second. How many know that sometimes an idea comes and it's not exactly what the Lord is putting his hand on? Maybe you heard part of it. You hear what I'm saying? And then maybe another brother or sister has another piece of that puzzle, right? And then you start to step out to find out. And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, there's an anointing on this. That's how the ukulele band kind of came about. Because the Jacksons are very musical. And they were interested in developing musicians. And my family's a bit musical. And so I was praying and I said, I think we need to have a jam session. The reason why I'm pulling back this, I'm pulling back the curtain here just for a minute. Because sometimes we think we kind of mysticize when direction comes, and we kind of overly make it too mystical, like spiritual, and there's a mystery behind it. Okay? Here's the mystery. I think we should do a jam session. Reverend Ennis kind of liked that idea. We started talking a little, well, what would that look like? What would that look like? We're praying about it. What would that look like? You know, and so we kind of had a couple conversations that way. They're praying about it. I'm praying about it. Then Reverend Ennis comes to me and he says, I got an idea. He says, a ukulele band. And I said, is that a thing? And he said, yes, it's a thing. YouTube it. It's a thing. And so that's how it started. And he showed up the next week, I think it was, the next week with like 6 ukuleles.
Wow.
And see, you know, God does things like that. And now we have over 20 people signed up in the ukulele band. So now, here's the thing. God opens up those doors. We've got to act on those things. As a church, we've got to act on it. That was not in my sermon notes. I'm trying to get you to understand that God speaks sometimes, and you may only have part of what God speaks. But see, God speaks through all of us, right? Now, as a pastor, the primary direction is going to come from me, just because that's what God put me in this place. But there are things, there are pieces that everyone has. And if we'll all do our part, the body will grow up and be stronger and stronger and stronger. We'll be primed and ready. So in Acts 1:8, this was Jesus speaking, and he said that John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, if Jesus thought that it was important for us to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, for specifically his disciples to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, how much more should that be for us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You see, it's important for us to know that this spiritual experience is not like it's not like an option that you get on the car. You know, well, I think I want special rims on my car. You know, it's not an option that way. It is a necessity for us to live in power. It's a necessity. Does it get us to heaven? No. But does it empower us to be witnesses? Yes. And so we are primed for the promise. Look at what verse 4 says. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. 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 You see, we're primed and ready for the promise. God put us in this space, if you will. And my personal testimony is I got saved, really saved, when I was 15. Now, I grew up in church, but it really, I don't know, some of the old time Pentecostals will say it finally stuck when I was 15, right? And it was one of those things where I got saved and I got hungry for the things of God. Very hungry. Very hungry for... I started reading the New Testament. I read the New Testament through in just a matter of weeks, twice. Matthew all the way through Revelation. I was hungry for the things of God. And so I began to ask God, wow, there's some really cool things in here I never noticed. Miracles, signs, wonders. And because I was reading the Bible for myself, hello, things were coming and jumping off the page. And I went on vacation with my parents to North Carolina and the mountains of North Georgia. And we were on vacation. And my sister couldn't come for some reason. She had to work or something. And so we're on vacation, and I'm just thinking about God. I'm thinking about the things of God. Every time we would drive through a little town, I'm like, I wonder if there's a Christian bookstore there. I'm serious. This was what was going on in my heart. And so We ended up at this Christian bookstore, tiny little town. I believe it was Helen, Georgia, which is the North Georgia mountains. And this lady, she said, "We have a church service on Sunday. It's right near where you guys are staying, on the other side, on the North Carolina side, in Murphy, North Carolina. Come to the, it's in a barn. It's a church in a barn." I'm like, "Oh, cool." My parents were like, "If you want to do that, let's do it." So she gave me a book, and the book was called How to Live Like a King's Kid by Harold Hill. And the book in it is Harold Hill's journey of being filled with the Holy Spirit and experiencing the miraculous. And so I read this book. I literally read it like cover to cover. We were in a, I believe we had rented a cabin or something. And I remember I just read this book and wouldn't even put it down. And I just read the book. And then I started asking questions. And so I'll never forget my it's funny. My mom, she said, "Well, that sounds like Pentecostal charismatic stuff." And I'm like, "Yeah," she goes, "Oh," she goes, "you have some relatives that were like that." I was like, "Oh," and she says, and I think there's, you should ask your uncle." My uncle was a deacon. So I went and asked him, and he says, "Oh, whatever you do, just stay away from so-and-so." It was somebody in the church that was filled with the Holy Ghost. So as a 15-year-old, I'm sorry. There was a little bit of rebellion there. I was like, "I'm going to go find out what this is all about." So I show up to this guy. His name's Ken. I said, Ken, "What's this baptism Holy Spirit thing?" He goes, "Shh." We were in the church foyer. And talking in tongues. He goes, "Come over here, because you're going to get me in trouble." I go, "What do you mean?" And see, the church that I grew up in didn't believe in that expression of the Holy Spirit. Good people, wonderful people, loved God, loved the Bible, but they didn't believe that tongues were for today. And so I'm like, "Well, John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that apply to us?" This is the 15-year-old mind looking at this going, "Wouldn't that be for us too? Wouldn't that be for me?" I went to that little church in North Carolina, and they started singing in tongues. I was like, "Hmm." My parents were like, "That's a Pentecostal church." So I was like, "Oh, okay, all right." So I get home, I start asking these questions with Ken and the deacons, and Ken says, "Listen, if you want to know more, come to my Bible study that we have at the FBI agent's house." And I go, "Well, does he go to our church?" He goes, "No, he's an Episcopalian." And so we go, and the house literally was down the street, across the highway and down the street from my house. And so I went, and right there in the living room, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. And one of the first books that was handed to me to learn about that was Why Tongues by Brother Kenneth Hagin. And in him, who I was in Christ, and the new birth, what happens when we are born again. Those books changed my life as a 15-year-old. I started going to that Bible study every Saturday night, and we experienced the power of God, and we experienced being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I celebrate that today. I celebrate the faithfulness of God. You see, there's a promise. The promise of the Father in verse 4 goes back to Joel chapter 2. Turn with me to Joel chapter 2. God promised that he was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. That was a promise. And in Joel chapter 2, we see that promise being spoken out to the people of God in Joel chapter 2. Praise God. Glory to God. Get in the right spot here. in verse, we're gonna go ahead and start in verse 15 right now. He says this, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Do you feel like that sometimes that's kind of where we're living at? Sometimes I feel that way. And then the Lord will be zealous for his land, and he will pity his people. And the Lord will answer and say to his people, I will send you grain, new wine, and oil, and you'll be satisfied them by them. And he continues on to say several things. But when you look at verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also my maidservants and my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Praise God. So there is a pointing into the future of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all flesh. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we see this occurring. Remember, Jesus told them to wait, right? And in Acts chapter 2, it says, and the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, which sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this be? Others mocking said, they are full of wine. Apparently, this was quite an event. That when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, it was the Spirit coming upon. It was what Jesus was saying in Acts chapter 1 in verse 4 when Jesus said, the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. There is not just the Spirit within when we are born again, but the Spirit that comes upon. We saw in John chapter 29 when Jesus breathed on the disciples that they received the Holy Spirit at that point. But that was not the Spirit coming upon them. That was the Spirit coming within them after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The new birth experience when they actually had the Holy Spirit come on the inside. So there is a difference between being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. And we see that here In Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit came upon them, they began to prophesy. They began to speak. It was quite an event. In fact, it caught the attention of everybody surrounding them. It was a sound. It was a rushing mighty wind. It was 120 of them. It didn't just stay in that room. It drove them to the streets. That's what I want to tell you. That first of all, you're primed for promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit is to anybody who receives that promise. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. During that season of my life as a teenager, my sister was dating, at that time, my brother-in-law. And they were just dating at the time. And he had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit about the same time as me. We both were seeking the things of God. We were hungry after the things of God. And so I'll never forget it. That particular Sunday morning, my future brother-in-law, my sister's boyfriend at the time, he says to me, he says, "So how are you doing?" I said, "I went to Ken's Bible study last night." He looked at me, and he looked me in the eyes, and he says, "You got it, didn't you? You got it." And I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You got the Holy Ghost last night, didn't you?" He goes, "I should have gone." This is Evangelist Ed Elliott now, right? He says, "I should have gone." He goes, "I'm calling Ken." This is before cell phones, okay? We're talking early, this is 1980. And so he called up Ken. He said, "Ken, I know Douglas got it. I want it." And Ken said, "Meet me. Meet me at some place and you'll get it." That's how people talked back then. And if you talk to people who lived in this area during the charismatic renewal, they'll tell you the same thing. When did you get it? You see, we mistakenly kept saying it. When did he come upon you? When did he come upon you? And see, he came upon me as a teenager. So my brother-in-law got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now my sister's not filled with the Holy Ghost. And she's arguing with him. She's arguing with him going, "Are you sure it's for today? Are you sure tongues are for today? Are you sure that this is for today?" I don't know. I kept going back as a 15-year-old and it said, "Wait for the promise. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit." So I was like, "I think this is for today." And then I found that verse in Hebrews. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And I thought, if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then the Holy Ghost is the yesterday, the same, and forever. And he wants to empower believers. And so I said, So I'm trying to argue with my sister. That's not working. If you've ever tried to argue with a sibling, especially an older sibling who knows more than you, or at least thinks she does, if she's watching, love you, sis. So my brother-in-law, he says, "Well, I want to go to some meeting and take you to dinner and then go to some meeting." She didn't want to go. So she's mad. So she stays home and she's wrestling with God. She's just wrestling with God. Because she met with the pastor. The pastor told her it wasn't for today. She's reading the Bible for herself. She reads Why Tongues, and she starts reading. She's reading the Bible. She says, "I'm confused." So she just went with the Bible. She just started reading the Bible, running her reference. If you don't know what that term means, running your reference means you look in your concordance and keep finding other Bible verses. That's what that means. And so she actually, on her own, she was at home by herself. She finally decided, "Okay, God, I want it." She wasn't at a meeting. Right in her room, she asked, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost." And she started speaking with other tongues.
Lord God.
Now she meets up with my brother-in-law. And he's mad at her. He's still trying to argue with her. And he goes, "You know, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Your brother got filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And why are you fighting this?" And she goes, "How do you know I'm not?" And he goes, "What?" And she says, I just shut in with God. And he filled me with the Holy Ghost. No meeting. No meeting. No chill bumps. No emotional music. Filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Right there at 737 Bowie Road, North Palm Beach, Florida. I'm telling you, this experience, this promise from the from the Father, primed and ready for the promise, primed and ready for the power. That's what it is for. Go back to Acts 2. Notice what happened. Notice what happened. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, and something supernatural happened. Supernatural. Supernatural. It wasn't just business as usual. It's not an option that you get on your car or just choose to not have. It's power from on high. It's power from on high. And notice what happened there in Acts chapter 2. It said basically that it drove them, if you will, it drove them to the streets. Drove them to the streets. Notice what the crowd's response was. They were in awe. There was something supernatural about it. It wasn't just I spoke with another language, but they heard the wondrous works of God. It was connected to the wondrous works of God. Their tongue was supernaturally declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ in other languages, and it drew men. It caused them to just stop and say, wait a second, wait a second. They're Galileans. They shouldn't know how to speak Arabic. They shouldn't know how to speak, you know, whether it was Arabic or, you know, said from Arabia, right? Or Cappadocia or Asia, parts of Asia. There's a lot of different languages there, right? They saw something supernatural. Supernatural. Well, I got to tell you, that supernatural experience, that power from on high, empowered me to be bold like I had never been bold before. I was more of an introvert before I got saved than I ever was now. My kids will tell you I don't know a stranger. I talk to anybody. I talk to anybody. My father-in-law, Randy, my Jethro, one time we're vacationing down in Long Beach Island, and I start talking about somebody that was in the neighborhood. He goes, who's that? Who are you talking about? I go, oh, that's Mr. Friedman. He owns 4 properties on this block. And he goes, how do you know that? I've been coming here for years renting this house. He owns 4 properties? Yeah, he owns 4 properties. What else did you learn about Mr. Friedman? Oh, I don't know. So Randy started joking with me saying Mr. Friedman was going to invite me over for holiday dinner because that's how good I got to know him. See, it took me out of my shell and put me in a path of boldness. It put me in a path to open my mouth because there was power. There was power to live. There was a confidence that came from the Holy Ghost coming on in power. Notice what happened to Peter. Peter is the same one who denied Jesus, right? And of course, we always like to point that out. Lots of sermons about that. He denied Jesus. But notice what happened in the book of Acts. We see that he's the one who steps up. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice. The power that comes from the Holy Ghost. The power of being primed and ready. Primed and ready for the power. Primed and ready for the promise, primed and ready for the power. We see that Peter raises his voice. He's not quiet in the corner anymore. I can identify with that. I can identify with being able to lift my voice and not care what somebody thinks. When you can open your mouth with boldness, with boldness. And it says, standing up with the 11, raised his voice, said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the 3rd hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. There was a boldness that came on this fisherman, Peter, who had an impetuous temper. But now all of a sudden, instead of being the one sheepishly saying, I don't know him, I don't know him, he is now the one saying, I know him. And you need to know him. And this is what was prophesied. Why is that important? It's important for you and me to be primed and ready for the promise, to be primed and ready for the power. And go back to Acts chapter 1. Be primed and ready for the purpose. What is the purpose of this power? What is the purpose of this power that we get from the promise being fulfilled? The purpose of this power in verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. It's not just going witnessing. It's power to live. It's power to live this gospel life, to live a life that is consecrated before God, a life that is holy before God, a life that is able to say no to sin, a life that's able to live with conviction, with power, with boldness, to say, no, this is what God says, and this is what I believe. The world right now seems to be a boat that is being tossed in the waves. The culture wars that are going on, seeking to divide, seeking to distract, seeking to even keep God's people away from church and away from the things of God. It's just being blown around by the culture, by the wind, and the enemy loves it. But when God's people, filled with the Holy Ghost, are primed and ready with the promise, primed and ready with the power, primed and ready for the purpose of seeing this gospel preached to the ends of the earth. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
I don't know when. By the signs of the times, it seems like closer than we've ever been. I know this much. I know this much. It's closer today than it was yesterday. That's how much I know. As each day passes, it's closer. It's closer. And I don't want to just quote unquote be ready. I want to take as many people with me as possible. I want this church to be primed and ready to take as many people as possible with us. Because there is a real hell to shun. And there is a real heaven to gain. This gospel is not just a feel-good, self-help gospel. This gospel is a gospel that will take somebody who was lost in their trespasses, and according to the Apostle Paul, without God and without hope in the world, and transforms them, Colossians chapter 1, into the kingdom of light. It is a transforming gospel. It is a gospel that takes somebody who was an introvert, who was kind of shy, not real confident, and gave me a confidence that I've never turned back on. Gave me a confidence to say Jesus is Lord. Gave me a confidence to proclaim the gospel in many different ways and creative fashions over the years to lead people to Christ. That is the confidence that came through being filled with the Holy Ghost with Brother Ken Butorf many years ago at a Bible study. Changed by the power of God. Changed by the power of God. Hungry for the things of God. Okay, God, what's next? I started reading the Bible after I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was like words jumped off the page. It was as if I put on 3D glasses and I'm watching things in 3D. I don't know about you, but when I want you to think back when you got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to stir that up in your heart today. Because I believe that, I don't know who's watching online, I believe that probably most everyone in this room has been filled with the Holy Ghost at some point. But I want you to stir it up on the inside. Timothy said it this way. He says, stir up, or Paul said it to Timothy. He said, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. You see, there are times of refreshing. There's one initial filling of the Holy Ghost coming on you. But there are many refillings. You can be refilled. I remember I was working for Dr. Wayne Lee for years in my early years in ministry. And Dr. Lee would say this, the reason why we get refilled is because we leak. But guess what? You're supposed to leak. You're supposed to leak out on a world that's thirsty, that's dry. You are supposed to give it out. You're supposed to splash on other people. The Holy Ghost is meant to touch other people, to touch the life of an addict, to touch the life of somebody who's not walking with God, somebody who's turned away, somebody who's walked away. Before service today, we were praying that God would send people into this church from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We are believing, God, that this church is primed and ready. Amen. We may be a remnant. We may be feeling like we're less than Gideon's 300 men. I got to tell you, when we dig deep and stir up the Holy Ghost, we are a mighty church. We are a mighty church. And we are a church primed and ready with the promise of God. Primed and ready with the power of God. Primed and ready for a purpose to see this gospel change people's lives. To see us not just go witnessing, but be witnesses. So that when you're at the workplace, when you're on the job, when you're talking to your neighbor, walking your dog, saying hello, getting the mail, changing things, getting your oil changed somewhere, you're looking for that opportunity to say, God, is this an opportunity to spill out on the world? Is this an opportunity for me to have my words have power so that they literally cut into the defenses of others so that they are immediately disarmed? And you say, wow, are you looking for opportunities to say, yeah, Lord, I'm a witness. I am a witness for you. I'm not going to witness. I am a witness of your power because the Holy Ghost came upon me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, I thank you that you've made us a Pentecostal people, a people that are baptized in the Holy Ghost, a people, Father God, that are unashamed about the Holy Spirit, unashamed that the Holy Spirit fills us, the Holy Spirit empowers us. Thank you, Father God. We stir up the gift of God right now, wherever you are, if you're at home. If you're here in this place, I want you just to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. We want to stir up the things of God. We want to stir up the power of God right now. The Bible tells us that we can pray the mysteries out in the Holy Ghost. We stir up the things of God, the plan of God. And right now, that the refreshing power of the Holy Ghost would come upon you, even as you stir up that prayer language, that praying in unknown tongues right now, that there is a release of His refreshing power in the name of Jesus. Right where you're sitting at home on the couch, you might even still be in your pajamas, but the Holy Ghost right now wants to fill you. And yes. Refill yes. You, Korasekelato Hoso Kolabase. Oh, that there is a refreshing. Yes. Oh, God, that there is a refreshing. God, that the promise, that we are primed and ready for this promise. Father God, that we are primed and ready with your purpose. Father, with your power right now in the name of Jesus, that the power of God is infiltrating individuals right now. Father, I thank you that you are even driving out sickness and disease. Father, that you're bringing strength to your people as we pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, in the Hoseke, oh, that the gifts of the Holy Ghost would make manifest in this place. Oh, that the gifts of the Holy Ghost, oh, as He wills, as He wills, as He wills, yes. Yes, as He wills. Thank you, Lord God. We stir up the things of God. We stir up the things of God in our hearts right now. We thank you, Father God, for even bringing that refreshing to your people today. Father, bringing that refreshing. Oh, that there is a refreshing, there is a refreshing, there is a refreshing. Like a cool breeze coming over you right now. Oh, thank you, Father God. Oh, and like the psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's a restoration. There's a restoration in the name of Jesus. As we were praying before service, the Lord gave me this picture of an oasis. That we would be, as a church, an oasis in the middle of a dry and thirsty land. That there would be a place of refreshing. There would be a place that people come and they would sense the presence of God. They would sense the love of God. They would sense the grace of God. And they would come and be healed. Come and be refreshed. Come and be renewed. Come and be revived. And people will hear about it. They will hear about it. And the prodigals and those that have not been in church for many years would just listen with their ears and say, I am thirsty for that. I am looking for and longing for a family. I'm looking for a community of faith that I can be a part of. And God is bringing them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And the prodigals are returning in the name of Jesus. I speak that as a word right now that the prodigals are returning. They're returning. And when they return, we need to, with open arms, we need with open arms, love them, love them, love them, love them. Because they're returning in Jesus' name. They're returning in Jesus' name. This is the oasis. Oh, Rabaseke la dodo, so. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus. There is a refreshing. There is a restoration. There's a restriction. Oh, there is. There is. There is. But it's up to us to step into that. Thank you, Jesus. The disciples actually walked out of the upper room. They didn't just stay there. That should be a lesson to us. They didn't just stay up in their little place. They went into homes. They went into their workplace. They went into the streets. And the church was added to daily. Why was that? Because they were driven out from their place of comfort. I thank God for Fraternidad and for a place that's comfortable to worship in. But folks, if this is all where it is, then we're missing it. It's out there. It's out there. It's in your neighborhood. It's your neighbor. It lives above you, beside you, below you. It's in the elevator. It's by the post office picking up your mail. It is the person who, your mechanic, waiting in the mechanic shop. These are the opportunities to step out in not just the promise. Oh, thank God we can pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank God. Just like the Apostle Paul. Thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all. That's what he said to the Corinthian bunch, and they were a tongue-talking bunch. But it is important to keep love as a central focus, to keep the promise, not just as a badge of honor, but that promise is filled with power. That promise is filled with purpose. that we are witnesses. You are a witness. You are a witness. You are a witness wherever you go. Wherever you go. Whoever you interact with. Even when you're in a bad mood. You got to keep your flesh under. When that person waiting on you is short, remember, you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside, and maybe they've had a bad day, and maybe they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to show them love and kindness and help them and turn that thing around. You can do it. You can do, why? Because you've been empowered to do it. You've been empowered to do it. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I know that probably everyone in here knows the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're going to do this as an exercise.
Amen.
To be ready, because God sent them. Plus, we're online, and there might be somebody online who needs to know how to get to know Jesus, right? So we want them to be born again. We want them to receive the Holy Ghost on the inside, but we want them also to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. From on high. It is a second experience from God. The first is to be born again. And you say, I don't know how to be born again. Well, being born again is not just going through a confirmation. It's not just getting baptized because somebody told you that's what you had to do. No, it is believing in your heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says it this way. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. That's what we're going to do. So I'm going to say this simple prayer. You'll repeat that prayer out loud after me. And as you do, if you mean this with all your heart, Jesus will come and live on the inside of you. And God will take an old life and give you a new one on the inside. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, say it like this. Say, Father,
Father,
I come to you,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe in my heart,
I believe in my heart
that Jesus
is the Son of God.
That he died for my sins.
That
he was raised from the dead. I receive his forgiveness. And I receive
his spirit
inside of me to make me new. In Jesus'
name.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we want to know about it. Message us through Facebook. Let us know so that we can send you some materials, help you in your walk with God. God loves you so much. You say, you don't know what I've done. He loves you so much. He can handle it.
Yeah.
He can handle it. He can handle all of your sin, all of your baggage. He'll forgive you. You receive that forgiveness by faith. You say, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit with the power from on high. It's real simple. Just ask him. Say, fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Go ahead and pray that out loud right now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Like the days of old, that I would be a witness in Jesus' name. Now just receive that down on the inside.
Glory.
Oh, go ahead right now. Go ahead and begin to speak. And don't use a known language. If you know Spanish, don't speak in Spanish. If you know English, don't speak in English. If you know both of those languages, instead just speak out. What comes out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you would like to know more information about how to be filled with the Holy Ghost, how you can walk this power from on high out, because this is a promise for everyone. It's not optional piece of equipment like when you buy on your car. It's part of it. It's part of the package to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live this Christian life. And so I want to encourage you. You want to know more about that, message us. We'd like to pray with you, help you. If you'd like to continue to partner with this ministry, just check out the website, and there is a way you can do that there. We'd like to pray for you, minister to you as best we can. If you don't live near us and you'd like to find a good church, we can help you find a good church that's near you too. Praise God forevermore. Let's stand to our feet and let's have our sending out verse this morning. Thank you so much for your attentiveness, for hooking up with us. God is doing great things here at Westchester Family Church. We're believing God. We're believing God to be that oasis that he's speaking about, to be that place where we'll be primed and ready for the promise, the power, and his purpose. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil
He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Hallelujah. God bless you. You are dismissed. If you'd like special prayer, I'll be available down front to pray with anybody who needs any special prayer. God bless you. Thanks again for tuning in and being here.